I have a fun privilege this morning. Over the last, I think, 3.5 years, maybe, I've gotten to know a man that's so affiliated with our church in one way. Sunrise is part of the NorCal Association of the North American Baptist Church. Oh, yes. Ushers are going to bring some. If you have your cups, they're empty cups, please feel free to pass them to the center. We'll take care of those. A little procedural error there. But Sunrise is part of the North American Baptist Conference and the NorCal Association. And in that association, we have a, what do we call you, a district minister or something like that, Rick. Rick Weber has just been a great encouragement to this church. He's walked with us through a lot of things. He checks in on me regularly and takes me out to lunch, and I get to tell him things about you that I can't tell the rest of you. And sorry, that one failed. But really, he has been a great encouragement to our body. He's given us a lot of direction. He's walked with the elders through this. He spent a lot of time with us even yesterday with this. And the great thing is he has a lot more ministry experience than a lot of us do. And with that, he's seen churches through their highs and through their lows and knows a few things about that. And this morning, you are in for a huge treat, because as we move forward, looking towards a lead pastor that would come in to walk with our congregation towards whatever is next, I think these next several weeks and months are going to be a great time of us learning together and growing together into who God's called us to be. And so Rick is going to talk to us about what it means when he says, "I want a new Oldsmobile." There you go. Have fun.
Thank you.
They're all yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, it is great to be here today. I love Sunrise. It's been a privilege to walk with you as a regional minister for the last few years. Man, you have such a great history and are accomplishing so many good things for the kingdom of God. Thank you for supporting North American Baptist through the NorCal Association. We plant churches, we develop leaders, we help establish congregations become more effective. We believe that we can do more together, and we are better together than if we are left to ourselves as churches or as individuals. So you have been a part of this group of 42 churches in Northern California, San Francisco, San Jose, and the Sacramento area, down 99 to Stockton, to work together to accomplish the mission God has called us on. It was this group of churches and this organization from which this church was planted. And so we have had a history together since 1974. Let me pray as we begin. Father, thank you for this day. May we honor you as we look at your word and as we consider the state of affairs that we find ourselves in as the church today. We ask that you would help our eyes to be able to see what you would want us to see, our ears to hear those things that would be of utmost importance to us, and our hearts to understand how it is we apply your word and your strategies to our lives in a world that seems to be against you. And so give us a sense of courage and power. May your Holy Spirit move among us in the name of Christ. Amen. All right. How many of you have ever owned an Oldsmobile? Yeah, hardly anybody. You know, the first service crowd has a little more experience with Oldsmobiles. Not saying they're older, they just loved Oldsmobile. My grandfather bought his first Oldsmobile in 1956. That 1956 Oldsmobile was a beginning of a tradition. He bought new Oldsmobiles in 1956, 1959, 1960, 1964, 1968, 1972, 1976, 1978, 1983, 1984, and 1989. My grandfather loved Oldsmobiles, because Grandpa drove Oldsmobiles, my father drove Oldsmobiles. Because my father drove Oldsmobiles, I drove Oldsmobiles. I love Oldsmobile. Oldsmobile was founded on August 21st, 1897. The last Oldsmobile rolled off an assembly line on April 29th, 2004, and now sits in a museum in Lansing, Michigan. My children will never have the thrill of driving a new Oldsmobile. My grandchildren may never even know what an Oldsmobile is. Now, this morning, I'm not going to give you 3 points. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to tie a bit of the story of North American Baptist, the NorCal Association, Sunrise Community Church, and Oldsmobile together to see where we might end up. My great-great-grandparents were German Baptists on the plains of South Dakota, now called North American Baptists. They immigrated there in the late 1800s, and there were German Baptist churches on the plains of South Dakota. All my great-grandparents were German Baptists in South Dakota. Both sets of my grandparents were North American Baptists. My parents are North American Baptist. I'm North American Baptist. My children are not North American Baptist. My grandchildren may never know what a North American Baptist is. For my great-grandparents, my grandparents, for my parents, for myself, the connection to an association of churches and a local church were highly valued. Vacations were planned around the events of these association of churches. Meetings for the association were excuses to travel. It was often a family vacation. Many of our churches were tied through a common heritage and helped other churches start in the next community. Many of those early pioneers had family ties in several surrounding communities by their own. Young people found future spouses via these connections. The church was the cultural and social center of life for many families and communities. Now, life has changed a bit since those days. We are more affluent people. We are more mobile. Families have become smaller. Children have moved off of farms and into cities. Connections have been lost. Consumeristic tendencies rose. Values have changed. Vacation destinations are no longer church meetings. It's Disneyland. It's Europe. It's other exotic kinds of places. Loyalty to associations of churches and the local church has declined. Individual good is often prioritized over the greater good or the larger good. The church is no longer the center of community life and often not the center of a family life. In the 45 years since this church was planted, life has changed. Apples were fruit, not phones, in 1974. Watermelons still had seeds. Some of you didn't know that watermelons had seeds. Being green was not a declaration of your environmental position. It was just a color. My favorite color, by the way. Tweeting was for the birds. Cameras used film. Maps were only available on paper. Phones were not smart. A Facebook was a photo album. Dolly had not been cloned. 9/11 was just a date, not a tragic event. Marriage has been redefined. Marijuana has been legalized. You're aware of the changes. You've noticed them. What does a church or a conference of churches do in order to accomplish their mission when everything is changing? The Apostle Paul experienced a significant paradigm shift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he speaks of his apostolic role and his compulsion to preach the gospel in the middle of a significant cultural shift. And so today we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, and we see how Paul approached putting the gospel in front of people when the church was not in the center of society. Verse 19, though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. You see Paul's strategy here? How do you adopt this strategy to life and the gospel today in our context? How does a church reflect this strategy as it fulfills her mission to bring the good news to the next community, the next generation, the next nation? How do we become all things to all men that we might win some? All for the sake of the gospel. Oldsmobile was the oldest surviving car brand in the United States up until 2004. Ransom E. Olds offered his first automobile to the public in 1897. Oldsmobile used to be GM's innovation brand. Listen to this. In 1938, the first fully automatic transmission was introduced on an Oldsmobile. Isn't that impressive? No, seriously. Isn't that impressive? In the 1920s, Oldsmobile was the first car to use chrome-plated trim instead of nickel. Wow! The first high-compression overhead valve V8 was found in a 1949 Oldsmobile Rocket 88, available for the first time in a pillarless hardtop. A pillarless hardtop. That was cutting edge. Even if you don't realize it. In 1966, maybe this will help, Olds introduced the radical front-wheel drive Toronado. In 1974, Olds was the first U.S. manufacturer to offer airbags as an option. They were a technologically advanced automobile maker. They were leading the pack. They were doing a great job. Why did Oldsmobile die? One Wall Street analyst said of Olds' demise, GM doesn't have too many divisions. They have too little imagination. Another analyst who wrote for Forbes cited indistinguishable styling, uninspired engineering, and inexperienced leadership as reasons for Olds' marketplace failure. Oldsmobile failed to pay attention to the changes around them. The church cannot wait to react to the moves of culture. The church today must set the trend for society, engage culture without being absorbed by it, and lead by applying the transforming power of the gospel to culture. For too long, we have isolated ourselves and remained separate, failing to engage out of a fear that somehow we would be overpowered or overwhelmed or contaminated. But if we believe there is power in the gospel to change lives and neighborhoods, if we believe the Holy Spirit dwells within us, empowers us, and provides wisdom, we will not shrink back from the challenge before us. We will step into the challenge using Paul's strategy as our own. We need Holy Spirit-inspired imagination and leadership for penetrating our culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Association of NorCal Churches started with the German Baptist movement beginning in 1851 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In the 1800s, German Baptist churches knew who they were and they had a clear mission. Reach German immigrants for the kingdom. That's it. Reach German immigrants for the kingdom. They were very clear about what God had called them to do. They adapted to their new environment and culture. They were reaching German-speaking immigrants. Almost all of our German Baptist churches had preaching stations scattered around the primary church. And pastors or deacons would travel to these stations during the week. And on Sunday, they would be teaching, preaching, visiting, and baptizing German converts. Some of these preaching stations would grow into autonomous congregations with their own pastors and then develop their own preaching stations to see more churches develop and more people reached. These German people were externally focused. That's our heritage as North American Baptists. That's our heritage as NorCal churches. That's your heritage as Sunrise Community, to be externally focused. This is not about us. This is about the mission God has called us to accomplish. Who is the next community that Sunrise is called to reach? How are you personally engaging with your community, your neighborhood. There's actually something coming up in the next 6 weeks, this neighboring series that is coming out. This would be a great way to begin to engage and investigate and ask God, what are you up to in my neighborhood, in my apartment building, in my workplace? And how do you want me to join you in that? Grant me courage, grant me vision to be able to see how I might engage for the sake of the gospel, becoming like the other people in my apartment building so that I might win some. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. Who is it God is asking you to reach, to engage with? Leaving circles of comfort and extending hands of care and compassion and inclusiveness to people who are living far from God. Those early Germans used cultural trends in the immigration movement of the day to further the kingdom. What is happening culturally that God is calling us to take advantage of for the sake of the gospel? What does an outpost or preaching station look like today in Fair Oaks, California? In this early context, leaders were trained while they were on mission. There wasn't a seminary most of these pastors or deacons went to. As they went, they were trained. They were sent and they were shaped at the same time, much like Jesus did with his disciples. Formation and mission went hand in hand. As you go on mission, formation in the ways of Jesus unfolds. As you are sent, you are being shaped in the ways of Jesus. How are we using that strategy in the training of the next generation of leaders for this ministry and ministry beyond these walls? We are the sent people of God, and he wants to shape us in the ways of Jesus. In the early 70s, the five NorCal pastors of the five churches, there were only five churches in 1974. There's 42 today. You helped plant five churches last year in Northern California. Thank you for that. The five pastors of the five churches in 1974 would gather and pray and talk about what God might want to do in NorCal. They knew the population was growing. They saw the mission field was there, and they were burdened by it, and so they prayed. They were convinced of the need to plant churches. So these five pastors went back to their churches and cast a vision to plant more churches in Northern California. First Baptist Church in Lodi, California, and Temple Baptist, now Grace Point in Lodi, each went to the bank and borrowed $100,000 to give to NorCal to plant churches. $100,000 in 1974 is about $500,000 today. Who does that? Who does that? Who borrows $500,000 and then gives it away? Another church gave $50,000. They raised $300,000 to plant churches. And guess what happened? Guess what happened? This, because others that went before us were willing to risk and sacrifice, Sunrise Community Church was planted in 1974. And more people have been able to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gene and Eleanor Kern moved from Aberdeen, South Dakota to California to plant this congregation. You exist as a result of that history and that vision, and now you are contributing to it by helping plant more churches. Good job. That's something that we can thank God for. He continues to work through us. You share this vision and history of planting churches. You started Lifehouse on Sierra College. You helped start Oak Hills. You planted Antelope Springs. You and the Kearns helped plant Pleasant Grove in Roseville, who, by the way, is looking for a church planter to plant a new congregation that would meet in their context but reach people across Fidiment, where thousands of new homes are going on. In the month of March, they raised almost $400,000 in pledges to be able to plant a new church. Wow. You helped do that way back in 1996 when that church was planted. You've raised up pastors and staff and church planters and leaders that serve around the world. You have a rich history of training and developing and releasing people for ministry. Looking beyond our own comfort and preferences for the kingdom of God takes sacrifice and risk. Are we that kind of people today? Are we that type of church? Will we, in the future, look beyond our preferences, go out of our comfort zones, and sacrifice to see the advancement of the kingdom? Who is it that God has out there that we will become so that we might reach some? That was Paul's strategy. Though I am free, I make myself a slave. He didn't consider his own personal comfort. He took a risk. He gave up comfort and preference for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we are called to today. The culture around us has changed. Society has shifted. How do we connect with our culture for the sake of the gospel? It will be uncomfortable. It is uncharted territory, but it is filled with unbelievable opportunity if we will expose ourselves to it and ask God to inspire us as to how that might happen. 45 years ago, there wasn't a Sunrise Community Church. Those five NorCal churches and others had the vision to plant this congregation, along with a core group that came together with a vision to reach this community that was expanding quickly. You bought land, you broke ground, you built buildings, the church grew, you reached people with the gospel. You committed yourselves to pray and pay off mortgages. You had a vision, you took risks, you rose to the challenge in the midst of change in the 70s and 80s and 90s and early 2000s. Will you continue to do that today as the shifts seem to be more significant than ever in our society? What would have happened if NorCal would have said, I don't think we're interested in giving to that project? What if they weren't interested in paying Gene's salary to come from South Dakota and plant this congregation? What would have happened if Gene and Eleanor had said, you know what, believe it or not, Aberdeen, South Dakota is a beautiful place to live. We think we'll stay here. Thanks, but no thanks, NorCal. What would be on this property if you had refused the prompting of the Holy Spirit to press ahead, to plant a church, to purchase property, to build a building, to house this congregation? Not for ourselves, not for our comfort, but for the kingdom mission God has called us to accomplish. We don't withdraw, we don't shrink back or disengage. We step into the call that God has placed upon us. The world needs the gospel. And he is calling us as his congregation to become more engaged than ever in the society around us. Risking everything for the gospel, stepping out in faith. Oldsmobile failed to change strategies to reach new generations of car buyers. Some churches are in danger of this same mistake. In the 50s and 60s, Olds was the executive innovator. Oldsmobile always had the latest bells and whistles and were owned by engineering managers and other prosperous individuals. Doctors, they said, doctors drove Buicks, techies drove Oldsmobiles. So the Silicon Valley today, technically, if Oldsmobile was still in business, would all be driving Oldsmobiles. Probably not. In the 70s, as GM lost its way, Oldsmobile became sort of an upscale Chevy. It even had a Chevy engine. How humiliating. How humiliating to be an Oldsmobile with a Chevy engine. No more technological innovation. They had lost their edge. In the 80s, GM's various brands all started to look alike. You couldn't tell an Oldsmobile from a Pontiac, from a Chevy, from a Buick. There was no more Rocket 88 swoopy styling. In the 1990s, the Rocket emblem was discarded, losing all identity, stripped of its individual looks, its innovation, its personality. Sales plummeted. Olds forgot why people bought from them and abandoned the very values that made them attractive. As churches, we recognize that we must move with deliberate reserve, without losing the core identity or values that made us successful in reaching people with the gospel in the first place. We change our strategies. We don't compromise biblical truth. We don't violate biblical values. We explore new ways of communicating and integrating that truth and those values into today's context. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Have we forgotten why we're here? Where do we need to exercise innovation today as the church? Not abandoning the foundation of God's word, but changing strategy to reach new generations of non-believers. What does it mean for us to become all things to all men that we might reach some? How would it change our current practices and patterns if we were to reach this culture? What kind of church would we need to become in order to reach our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't hear me say that today's church isn't doing anything influential for the gospel. They are. You are. You have loved others in the name of Jesus. You've supported local and international ministries that have accomplished the mission. You are active locally in the Union Gospel Mission, Alternative Pregnancy Center, Will Rogers Middle School, the Big Day of Service, Sanctuary Sunrise, and on and on. You have given money and gone to Belize and Mexico and Asia and Africa and Europe. You are accomplishing some wonderful things for the kingdom. The question is this: are we willing to make the necessary changes to reach the next community, the next generation, the next nation? In the broader Conference of North American Baptist Churches, those early years saw remarkable growth in German Baptist churches. From 1920 to 1950, the growth slowed. It slowed because the mission was changing. German immigration had declined. Something called World War II was about to happen. German-speaking people were not as popular after December 7th, 1941, as they had been prior. German heritage and German organizations were not attractive. And so what did our churches do in the middle of this spectacular shift that happened almost overnight? They started English-speaking services. They changed their names. One church in the Northwest changed their name the day after December 7th, 1941. They went from First German Baptist to First Baptist because they knew if they were going to reach the culture around them, they couldn't cling to their heritage that they so highly valued. They started those English services. They broadened their scope of vision. They refined their mission. They were mission-driven. And so language and names and forms of ministry could change for them. The mission remained the same. And the mission of God takes priority over our preferences and over our styles. Times have changed. The church has been pushed to the margins of society. It wasn't long ago the church was the center of culture. We were in a position of power. That did not always work well. Now we have been pushed to the margins with all the other marginalized people and organizations. Do you know that the church, for most of its history, has always been on the margins? And we have done our best work in the margins. We don't bemoan the fact that we are now on the margins. We reclaim the margins and ask God to help us as we reach this new generation with the gospel. God has called us to go and make disciples. We preach the same gospel, but find new ways to communicate and demonstrate. We find ways to marry innovation and tradition. We find ways to engage on mission while building community within the body of Christ. While the church has been pushed to the margins, we recognize the mission field has also come to us. Society is more diverse than it's ever been in the United States. Immigration has allowed unreached people groups to enter the United States. In the San Juan School District, there are over 73 languages represented. 73 languages. Over 30,000 people live in this 11 square miles called Fair Oaks. There is great opportunity all around us. What is God calling us to do in the midst of that? To reach these people. There's no going back. The good old days are not going to return. How many of you are driving a brand new Oldsmobile today? No, it's impossible. They don't make those anymore. You cannot go out and buy a new technologically advanced Oldsmobile. But you can still buy a car. In fact, you can buy a better car, as much as it pains me to say that. You can buy a better car. It's not the shape or style of a 1959 Oldsmobile, but it looks great, it runs smoother, it needs less maintenance, it's going to last longer. If I could go out and buy a brand new, fresh off the line, assembly line 1959 Oldsmobile Dynamic 88 with the Wonder Bar radio, look it up if you don't know what it is, I would do it in a heartbeat. But it wouldn't be a daily driver. It would not be practical. Annie would resent it taking up space in the garage. And there it would be. And I would have my friends over, and I would invite neighbors over, and we'd stand around and look at that Oldsmobile and say, isn't that a great car? But it'd never get driven. It would be impractical, less useful than something more technologically advanced. Some churches are in danger of wanting to hang on to their 1959 Oldsmobile. We can never recapture the good old days. As much as we may long for those days, they're not going to return. And if we could bring them back, they wouldn't look quite as shiny as they did in our memory. The good old days had their challenges. In 1983, I bought my first Honda. In 1986, I bought my second Honda. I've owned seven Hondas in the last 30 years. I felt like I was betraying family and country when I bought that first one. I didn't know if I could go home at Christmas. We lived in Brook Park, Ohio, one of the centers of GM and Ford. Half of our neighbors worked for those companies, and it wasn't very evangelistic to drive a Honda. But I drove a 2002 Honda for 195,000 miles, three sets of tires, a pair of front brakes, a new battery, and that was about it. Gas, of course. And someone else is driving it today. It's still getting the job done. But even since 2002, there's been a shift. I wouldn't buy that Honda again. I would buy something else. And it will change again. It changed for my grandfather when he was 89 years old. He sold me his 1989 Oldsmobile Delta 88. And he overcharged me, by the way. And you know what he did? He went out and he bought a Buick. He bought a Buick. And he embraced Buick, but it signaled an end of an era for our family. And it also signaled the fact that something was wrong with Grandpa's thought process. And someone should take his checkbook away from him. Churches are closing around North America. They're going out of business, so to speak. But churches aren't going away. New churches are starting, but they're different than the churches that are closing. Many are still very conservative theologically, but they are very liberal in love. And so sometimes when they're liberal in love, we think they're liberal theologically. But what they're doing is applying Paul's strategy, becoming all things to all men, associating with people that we think we shouldn't associate with. Why? That I might win some. There's been a shift. Honda and Toyota and Tesla are taking the place of Oldsmobiles. And that's okay. They're all cars. We believe God is a missionary and the church is a principal historical agent of his mission in the world. We are sent people. We are his missionaries. We will always have the church. But how we do church, how we conduct our business and our lives, how we develop leaders, how we communicate, how we gather, how we plant new churches will continue to change. How will we respond to that change and that challenge? How will we get ahead of the curve for the sake of the gospel? Paul's strategy reflected the reality of the most significant shift the world has ever experienced with the coming of Jesus Christ. Paul's strategy was based upon the example of Jesus, who was a friend of sinners. The church's greatest challenge may be transforming consumers into missionaries. As followers of Jesus, we pattern our lives after Jesus and God's missionary purpose, giving priority to seeking and saving the lost. We don't simply send others, we recognize we are sent. We don't simply disciple others, we recognize we need discipling for the sake of the gospel. Sending and shaping, mission and formation, taking place as we respond to the call of God. We are at a fork in the road. Will we be the church of yesterday or will we become the church of the future? Yogi Berra said this, when you reach a fork in the road, take it. And you know, he was right. When you reach a fork in the road, take it. There are things about our present ministry and tradition we need to cling to. We should not give them up. And there are things that are or will fail that we need to let go of. At the same time, adopting strategies that remain true to the mission, that will transform lives, that will engage our culture, that will make disciples, all for the sake of the gospel. We marry tradition and innovation. We ask God to give us an Holy Spirit inspired imagination, becoming all things to all men that we might save some. I miss the good old days. I'm almost old enough to remember them. That was supposed to be funny. I am old enough to remember them. That's what's not funny. I miss what NorCal Association used to be. I miss what the church had decades ago. But we face new challenges and require change if we're going to serve the kingdom well for the mission God has given us in the short-term and long-term future. I have great hope for the future. God is moving among us, our congregations, and in our culture to create a great opportunity for the gospel to be lived out. What will Sunrise Community Church look like in the coming years? If we don't anticipate the future, we may miss out on the opportunity of being fully engaged in what God's calling us to do. And so may God give us courage and strength to not shrink back. May God give us the unity and love to press into the future together. May God give us the imagination and the inspiration for the great adventure He has invited us into, this adventure to seek and save the lost. Pray with me. Father God, help us that we would be faithful to you and the mission you've called us to, that we would be faithful to your word, but we would willingly let go of anything that distracts us or detours us from accomplishing what you've called us to. Help us to figure out what it looks like to adopt Paul's strategy in our lives and in our church for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Rick. And I would just put this one thing out here for us. Because if you're like me, you're sitting out there saying, that's right, Sunrise, you need to be able to welcome the future. That's one of our four staff values, pursue God, love one another, embrace the truth, and welcome the future. Sunrise, this church, it really needs to learn how to welcome the future. This church will not be able to welcome the future. This church will not be able to change till I am willing to do that exact thing. And that's a challenge this morning for every single one of us. Are we willing to embrace what God is calling us toward, not what God has called us to in the past? We can celebrate what happened in the past, but we need to welcome what he's doing in the future. And so, Rick, I am so grateful for you bringing that message to us this morning and for listening to the Spirit speak. I think it's exactly what we needed to hear this morning. And I would challenge you, we have prayer partners, people that are right up here at the end of every service that are here to pray with you. And if you're in that spot where you're struggling with welcoming the future, maybe with embracing what is to come, And you need to have someone pray with you or over you about that, by all means, come on up here. Or if you have anything that you need prayer for, please feel free to come up here as well. And finally, one of the things that that Sunrise does that I am so grateful and that we do is every month we take an offering. We challenge you to give towards our community through our benevolence fund. And this is a fund that helps pay for bills when someone's not able to come up with what they need. need to be able to pay bills if they've lost their job. Maybe some people are in need of counseling. When counseling is ridiculously expensive, we can come alongside them in that. And that's what this benevolence fund goes towards. So our ushers will be at the doors on the way out, and you can give towards that. But thank you, Sunrise. May we leave this room ready to welcome whatever God has for us on the outside of this building, off this property, that he would use us to do his will in a new way, in the name of Jesus. Go out there and do it.